My name is Pete Gidlin, and I'm a member here. I'm on the teaching team here, and I'm also somebody who likes to shake it up every once in a while. I like to do something different every so often. And so tonight we're going to do something totally we're not used to. Usually you're used to somebody coming up here and reading some scripture, and then sort of getting into the sermon, maybe telling a story, or you starting off with some kind of cultural reference or some kind of analogy. And today, since we're actually going to study parables, and a parable is something that Jesus used, where he kind of stopped and sort of tell a story, use an analogy, or use a sort of a pop culture reference to sort of make his point. And so, since we're going to study a bunch of those tonight, and I do mean a bunch, we're actually not going to start how we normally start. I'm going to let you sort of work on the scripture and stuff yourselves tonight, and I'll explain that in a second. Where we're at is we're in the book of Mark, and what our point is this fall is to get through the first 8 chapters of Mark. Mark has 16 chapters, and so we're just biting off as much as we can chew. We're doing the first half, but you know, before Advent comes. And so where we are in the book right now is we're 4 chapters in, and here's what's happened so far. Basically, Jesus starts off his ministry. He starts healing people. He starts casting off demons. And he starts off really quiet. And then people start questioning him hardcore. The Pharisees and all kinds of people start getting in his face and questioning what he's doing. And then he starts off a little bit vocal, kind of asking questions in return and sort of getting everybody thinking. And then last week, where we kind of left it, is Jesus gets hardcore himself. He starts really firing back and making accusations, and it gets pretty heated. And then all of a sudden, it stops, and we get a bunch of analogies, a bunch of parables in a row from Jesus. We think of, if you're used to reading the Bible, you might think of the parables as kind of sprinkled in the Gospels. And the way it works in Mark is right here at this point in Mark, they just come all in a row. Okay? And so what we're going to do tonight is we're going to work on those in our seats in small groups. And here's how it's going to work. There are 4 parables I'd like you to look at. And you, yourself, are only going to look at one of those in a group tonight. And then we're going to sort of come back together. Some people might share out if they feel led from up here. And then I'll kind of close with some words. So the way I'd like the groups to look is I'd like them to look like about 6 people would be kind of ideal. No more than 8, but please no less than 4. And try to make it so you get some other people in there that you might not get. Like if you're with sort of just your family, it might not work as well as if you were with people you didn't know so well. Get some other ideas bouncing around and stuff like that. Or if you don't know somebody, ask them to come over in your group or something. So 6 is ideal, no more than 8, no less than 4. And then here's what I would like you to do. I would simply like you to do introductions and actually read the text. I'm going to give you the text in a minute. Somebody read the text out loud. And then I just want to kind of get your conversation going. I'm not asking for something real profound here. I would first like you to just kind of say, hey, what is the subject of the parable? What's the main thing in the parable? And what is it doing? I'd like you to identify that as a group. And then I'd like you to kind of go around and get the conversation started. This is just a conversation starter by talking about, hey, what's inspiring about this? And I don't mean inspiring like, how does it make you want to go out and fulfill your dreams or something? Not that kind of inspiring, but what does it start cooking in you? What are some questions that it starts bringing up? What are some thoughts that you start having? What's an inspiring inside of you when you read this text or when you talk about this text with others? And so that's it. Is that simple. So when you get your little group together, will you send somebody up to me to actually get the text? And then you can go back to your seat and start? Okay? Great. Thanks. Let's get going. Okay, so let's kind of come back together. Find a seat, maybe still with your group, but where you can still kind of focus up front. And do I have anybody from the first parable with the pink guards? The pink cards, and they had the parable of the sower. So anybody from parable of the sower want to come up and throw something out there? You could even just kind of go over those. Very just, you know, cursory, gloss over, hey, what was the subject? What was the subject doing? And maybe instead of the inspiring question, just like, hey, what was like kind of a key point that came out of your group's discussion, like something cool that was said in your group? Okay?
No, yeah, just go ahead and talk about what was the subject and what was it doing?
Okay.
And then was there anything kind of cool that came up in your group?
Okay, so we read the parable of the sower, which you see here. And we did this in a couple languages, so there were you know, so we had different thoughts and ideas. The subject, we talked about how there's really one person in the story. It's this farmer. And he's sowing seed. And we started to try to look at what is that, the seed, because what we read doesn't give us any explanation of that. We were kind of digging into that when we had to end. We talked about how there are four different kinds of soil that the seed falls on, and it does different things depending on where it falls. So we have some seed that doesn't grow at all, some that grows but doesn't bear grain, and then some that bears plenty. And I think one of the points that was shared that came up just that was interesting or inspiring was the sense of how many obstacles there were to this seed sort of taking full root and bearing the full grain that it was intended, and that that was just striking to our group, how much sort of resistance there was.
Great, and then anybody from the blue group, they had lamp on a stand. If you had a blue card and you want to share? Okay, Aaron Darden. Woohoo!
Hi, my name's Aaron. So the lamp on the stand, basically about putting a lamp on its stand. Pretty simple. And what kind of we talked about basically is why the placement is important, not so much about that you're putting light into dark places, but that you're revealing things, hidden things in your life, or hidden things of, you know, things that God wants you to see, that if you don't put the light in the right place, then you're not going to see these things. One of the biggest things down at the, towards the end is, you know, the whole with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And even more, whoever has will be given more. Whoever will be taken away from them. That's kind of like, we got this strong message that that's kind of a message that you can't coast. There is no neutral. There's, you know, you've got to push in or you're going to devolve, basically. You know, if you push in, God is going to reward you and going to help you grow, and he's going to help you see things. If you just coast, well, you're probably not going to see what he wants you to see. So that was the big thing, I think.
And then what about the parable of the growing seed, which is the green card group?
Okay, so in this one, it's about a farmer who sows some seeds. And we were talking about like what the farmer represents and what the seeds represent, and we could see it both ways, that the farmer could represent God or it could represent us, but how if the farmer represented God, then he was like growing us and letting us develop by ourselves, but at the same time that was confusing because it said that he didn't know how. So yeah, and then we thought that, what did we think? Oh yeah, we like the idea that no matter what, even though we might not know how, God will turn something into something good, even though we might not know how it happens.
This is good. And lastly, the purple card, mustard seed, parable of the mustard seed.
So we have the parable of the mustard seed, and we decided that the subject was the kingdom of God and that Jesus was using something in nature that you can see to kind of visualize this very intangible, abstract idea. And I think what struck us was just how Jesus uses these dramatic extreme. So the very smallest seed becomes the largest of all garden plants. So something you completely wouldn't expect from the seed. And I think we felt that was really hopeful for us when we're feeling like insignificant, or our contributions are insignificant, or our faith is really weak. That in the kingdom of God, God does kind of unexpected things with that. So, yeah.
So can I ask you, and you could just kind of shout it out, were there some crossover things that you heard or read as sort of main themes or similarities that all those parables had, or several of those parables had, and what would those have been? You want to just kind of shout it out?
Yeah, growth.
Okay, growth. Good.
Listening.
Listening.
Or consider carefully what you hear.
Okay, good. Consider carefully.
Visibility.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Seeds.
Okay, seeds. Right. Yeah. Good.
Things coming that you don't understand, or you don't know how they're happening.
Things coming that you don't understand, or you don't know how they're happening. I'm repeating so you all can hear back there, and also so it gets on the recorder. Sorry.
The kingdom of God.
The kingdom of God. Yeah, definitely. So a lot of people kind of, as I walked around, even though it wasn't said explicitly from up here, as I kind of walked around, I heard, no matter kind of what group I was walking by, I kind of heard, maybe this is talking about the kingdom of God, and so forth. Or the like when it came to the lampstand, the message of God, right? It's maybe the message of God sort of going out like light, is what I heard from your groups. Anything else?
Process, like especially in the agricultural one, something gets changed into something else
mm-hmm.
through some known or unknown process.
Great. Process, something gets changed into something else.
Mystery.
Good, mystery.
I'm going to call this the light of God, and I'm working this out because it's just coming to me, in that the only parable that actually talks about light is the lamp. However, light is important in all of these scriptures, because when we're talking about agriculture, you need light in order to help things grow.
Okay, good. So light is a theme. Good. Great.
It either works or it doesn't work. There's a contrast between sort of success
uh-huh.
and failure.
Okay. Great. I'm sorry, repeat that so everybody can hear. But Susie said, either it works or it doesn't work. Either it seems like it's a success or a failure. Yeah.
And there's something about understanding.
Uh-huh.
You know, are people understanding? Are you listening? Are you hearing?
Yeah. Are you understanding?
Yeah.
Yeah, something about that understanding that's in each of these two. Okay, great. So now I'm going to just close with a couple of short words, and I'm actually going to take us to a totally different part of Mark, kind of to the end of our little four chapters. Our eight chapters that we're going to do this fall. And I want to tell you that in the next couple of weeks, basically what will happen is Jesus will feed thousands of people, and Bora's going to talk about that. Next week, and also I think Jesus walks on water, and Greg's going to talk about that the following week, and then we'll sort of wrap up our time the week after that. And so I want to sort of skip ahead, because there's this sort of encounter that Jesus has that I think kind of speaks to what we just talked about here. And so this is a reading from Mark chapter 8 verses 11 through 21. The Pharisees came and began to question Jesus, to test him, and they asked him for a sign from heaven. He sighed deeply and said, "Why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly, I tell you, no sign will be given to it." Then he left them, got back into the boat, and crossed to the other side. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread except for one loaf that they had with them in the boat. "Be careful," Jesus warned them. "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod." They discussed this with one another and said, "It is because we have no bread." Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, "Why are you thinking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see? Do you have ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the five loaves for 5,000? How many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" 12, they replied. "And when I broke seven loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls a piece of pieces did you pick up? They answered, 7. And he said to them, do you still not understand? And this is the word of the Lord. And we've got a lot of word of the Lord going on tonight. And I just want to close with this shortly. But in this short little story at the end, we almost have sort of like a parody that Jesus brings up. A parody parable. A sort of like an anti-parable to the parables he told before about what you had just said. Sort of the kingdom of God growing. And the kingdom of God sort of branching out like a mustard seed or a tiny little seed. We don't know how, but it still grows. And when he's questioned by these Pharisees, kind of after long last, he turns around to the people who are kind of his closest and he says, be careful about the yeast of the Pharisees. So he gives a parable right there. And what do we know about yeast? Well, yeast is something we put in a loaf to make bread rise, right? It's actually bacteria. And what yeast does is it spreads. It grows. You kind of can't stop that yeast from permeating the whole loaf of bread. So do you see that sort of anti-parable that he kind of throws at them? He's been talking actually sort of in a rant in chapter 4 about all this growth, all this great growth and spreading. Light, spreading light, shining light. Trees and plants that grow out. And then he kind of turns around and says, hey, be careful of the Pharisees and Herod, meaning sort of like this weird religious stuff and judgmental stuff that's coming down. And also Herod kind of representing power and influence and privilege and how destructive that is. And he says, hey, be careful of the yeast of the Pharisees and Herod. Now, yeast at the time also would have been like a Hebrew euphemism just for sin. That would have been a common thing. In fact, Jesus might be kind of riffing off of some rabbinical writings that were going on at the time, like rabbis actually, some stories and lines that they would tell about yeast spreading in loaves. And at the time, for the Jews at that time, that would have been a huge symbol of sin that just spreads. So just like the growing of the kingdom of God, Jesus warns really clearly, hey, there's sort of another kingdom that can spread. Beware of that. There's a kingdom of lies and power, and that can spread as well. And they think, the funny thing is, they think, hey, is he talking about because we forgot to bring bread? They kind of miss his point, right? And they say, is he kind of saying because we forgot to bring bread? Is he mad about that? And then he turns around and he goes back to sort of that main theme of the parables that we just talked about here in this group. And he kind of goes, hey, do you remember when I took a few loaves and I fed thousands of people? Didn't we even have left over? Can't I make things grow? Can't God provide for everybody? Isn't it, as Anna said, that God will make something good happen? Good change and grow? Can't God do that? And so I just kind of leave you with the simple theme of God's kingdom growing how beautiful that is and how dangerous it is that we forget that there are lies that spread, there's power that spread just like yeast in a loaf of bread. And Jesus says, hey, be careful of that. Watch out for that. Stop it. And I think it's important just right now at this point as we read a book like Mark to just kind of realize the pace and the themes and the flow and the ups and downs of the book. And that in chapter 4, Jesus takes time out to tell like 4 parables in a row that basically have a real similar meaning and real similar themes. All in a row. These are not dispersed amongst the Gospel of Mark. These are right in a row. And why would the very first gospel in history basically take that tone kind of at this point in Jesus' life, this point in Jesus' ministry? But also not just understanding the book of Mark, kind of thinking about how do we think about this in our lives? Well, this is where I'd like you to turn to your connection cards and think about this. So would you take those out, please? And I've got some real simple things that I'd like you to kind of think about this week. And one is, hey, will you just kind of reflect on ways you see the kingdom of God growing? I actually passed one group and they were kind of actually going through, they were kind of actually saying that, talking about that. What are ways they see the kingdom of God growing?
The other one would just be, hey, take action. Find some way that you see the kingdom of God growing and help that along. Help that along. I'm a sort of a farmer myself. I grow gourds. And I have this sort of canopy of gourds that I grow, and I'm always training the gourds. So when I see growth happening, but it's not on the ropes that are going up, I sort of put the vine and wrap it back around so that it'll grow up the fence and or up the rope that I have. But likewise, would you also take action? And when you see sort of the yeast of lies and destruction, power growing, are there easy ways to just reach out and stop that this week? So think as we worship today, are there easy ways for you just to reach out and stop evil from spreading? And in the same way with my gourds, when I see aphids, a little colony of aphids or something like that, you know, I got to stop that before it just permeates my whole garden. It gets terrible, right? So you can reach out and try to stop that. And then for some of you, when I talk about, hey, these are some features of Mark, and this is sort of the pacing of Mark, and this is how Mark looks, and you kind of go, oh, I really want to recommit to reading through Mark, or at least those first 8 chapters, and sort of going back through it and see, did any of those things pop out to me? Would you commit or recommit to reading Mark this fall, at least those first 8 chapters that we're covering? And so I just encourage you to think about those things as the worship band comes up and starts to play. So let me pray for us. Dear Jesus, we praise you actually for these words of encouragement that your kingdom is coming and is spreading. And I thank you that we don't know how it works, God, that that's a mystery to us. Lord, please press on our hearts ways that not only can we open our eyes to see your kingdom spreading and growing, changing into something new, but also that that we can look for ways to stop the spreading of evil and lies, injustice. Be with us this week and work in us in true ways, God.